Today on The Journey.
This is the last appeal in Scripture. I don't know that it won't be your last appeal. We have no certainty in our lives. That's not doom and gloom. That's just realistic. We know that. So today I challenge you. Trust in Him.
Between the assurance of eternal life for followers of Christ and certain judgment for unbelievers, there is a yield sign, a last warning for Earth's travelers, placed there by a loving God. On today's broadcast, Ron Moore looks at that road marker and the consequences of ignoring it. First, please note the comforting devotional we'd like to send to you. It's titled Refuge, and in its 90 pages, you'll discover the path to God's sheltering presence. It's available for a donation of any amount at ronmoore.org. Your gift today will help further this ministry of developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now here's Ron with Assurance, Invitation, Judgment, On the Journey.
The book of Revelation tells us what's going to happen. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to show His servants what must soon take place. We know what's going to happen. God wins. And we're going to celebrate that victory with Him forever. He also says, blessed is he who reads these words of prophecy, and blessed are those who hear and take to heart all that is written in it, for the day is coming. So we want to be those who read it and take it to heart. You know, when you go to the movies and the feature presentation is the one you go to see, but before that comes on, preview after preview after preview is shown. Well, chapter 14 is kind of like the coming attraction part of that movie experience. Chapter 14 is going to tell us the things that are going to come. It's kind of like taking a break and saying, okay, we've gotten this far. Now, here are the things that are going to happen out here. Coming attractions. There are going to be three previews we're going to look at today. My purpose is that two things happen. One is that you are more confident in who God is, His sovereignty, and that He is in charge. And we're going to see one of those coming attractions in the first part of chapter 14 that will help us all be more confident. He's in charge. Secondly, we're also going to see a warning of coming judgment. And so the second thing I pray happens is that you are challenged. If you don't know Christ, you are challenged. This is going to happen. The warning is there. Time's coming. We're going to have to give an account of your life before Him. So take your Bibles and open to Revelation chapter 14. And we see the first coming attraction could be titled Assurance of Protection. And here we're going to see that God always keeps His word. He is not man that He should lie, nor the son of man that He should ever change His mind, the Bible says. What He says, He's going to do. What He promises, He's going to make sure it happens. Look at verse 1. Then I looked, and there before me was the Lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with Him, with the Lamb, 144,000 who had His name and His Father's name written on their foreheads. Now, this is the second time in the book of Revelation we see these 144,000. We're introduced to them in chapter 7, and there we see that during the tribulation, after the church has been raptured, there's going to be 12,000 from each tribe of Israel, 12 tribes, 12,000 times 12, 144,000, who are going to be sealed for the duration of the tribulation. And their sealing is going to be protecting them as they go through all the terrible days of this tribulation. We're told in chapter 7 that they are marked with a seal. Whether it's visible or invisible, we see that that seal here is the name of Christ and the name of God written on their foreheads. Now, John sees this group, having been protected through the tribulation, standing on Mount Zion. A lot of discussion about this in commentaries, but I take that to be the New Jerusalem. Jerusalem is often called Mount Zion in the Old Testament. So here is the New Jerusalem, as the Lamb, Jesus Christ, is standing on Mount Zion. He has come back. Remember, we're in chapter 14, but we're looking to things that are going to happen. Look at verse 3. and they sang a new song before the throne and before the four living creatures and the elders. No one could learn the song except the 144,000 who had been redeemed from the earth. Now, why could no one else learn that song? Because no one else had been through that experience that they had been through. As I said, some people are already in heaven, the church raptured. Some people were martyrs through the tribulation. But this group, and only this group, knew the protection, the sealing, the grace of God, the fulfilled promise of God throughout the tribulation period. And no one else can sing that song. They sang a song that was unique to them. They sang a song of God's protection. He kept them. He watched over them. In the most difficult times that history has ever known, God protected them. Now, whether the 144,000 is a literal number or whether it's just a number to describe a completeness, I don't know the answer. But it's interesting that in chapter 7, 144,000 were sealed. And in chapter 14, how many are standing there with the Lamb? 144,000. Which means not one of them was lost. The point being in chapter 14, that same number, that same complete group, is standing there with the Lamb. Not one of them is lost. And spiritually, God promises to keep us as well. If you're a believer here this morning, you have the Holy Spirit living in you who is a deposit guaranteeing your inheritance. Listen to these words in John chapter 6. Jesus said, "I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all he has given to me." I'm not going to lose one. "But raise them up on the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." Jesus said, God's going to give me a group of people, his children, and I am not going to lose them. I'm going to die for them. I'm going to raise from the dead, and I'm going to deliver my promise of eternal life. Now, I'm going to ask you a question today. In your heart of hearts, can you say, if I die right now, I would spend eternity in heaven? Some people say, well, you can't know that. There's no way you can know that. Well, according to Scripture, you can. 1 John chapter 5, 11, 12, 13 says this. This is a testimony. God has given eternal life, and his life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. And then what does John say? I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you can what? Know you have eternal life. So again, I go back to my question. Do you know with assurance that if you die, you spend eternity with God? That's a pretty serious question, isn't it? These 144,000 were protected physically. Not every Christian was during that time. This group was. But even more than that, they were protected spiritually. Just look very quickly at how they were protected. First of all, they were kept spiritually pure, unstained by the terrible things going on around them. Look at chapter 14, the first part of verse 4. "These are those who did not defile themselves with women, for they kept themselves pure." Now, there's a lot of commentary on this, and there are some who say this group was celibate during their time. I don't think that's what it is saying, nor do most commentators believe that's what it's saying. Many times in Scripture, adultery, impurity, is not used in the literal physical sense, but it's used in a figurative spiritual sense to describe a person who has turned his or her back on God. Or in the Old Testament, a nation, sometimes the nation of Israel, committed adultery in the sense that they turned their back on God. So now in the positive sense of that figure, God protected those. He kept them pure. He kept them literally, it says, as virgins through this terrible time. In a time when they were tempted to compromise, in a terrible time when they were tempted to take the mark of the beast, God kept them pure. He kept his relationship with them clean and open and pure. Secondly, They were followers of Jesus. Verse 4 says, they follow the Lamb wherever He goes. In a time of questioning, in a time of temptation, in a time of confusion, they follow the Lamb wherever He goes. Can you say, that's a characteristic of my life? He's calling us to live lives that obey Christ's commands, because Jesus says what? If you love me, you will obey my commands. He's calling us to be the ambassadors for Him, the representatives that He wants us to be. Are you following Christ wherever He leads? A third characteristic of these 144,000 in verse 4, they were purchased from among men and offered as first fruits to God and to the Lamb. They're purchased and they are offered as first fruits. Now, these 144 realized something that we sometimes as Christians forget. The relationship we have with Jesus Christ, although free to us, was very costly to Him. He left the perfection of heaven, came to this earth, and died on a cross. And while the physical death He died is unimaginable, the spiritual thing that was taking place, the wrath of God on Him for your sin, my sin, certainly unimaginable. And Jesus did that for us. So 1 Corinthians says, you're not your own. You have been bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. The first fruit offering was the best of the harvest, the first fruits. And it simply means they gave God their best. Are we doing that? As Christians, are we realizing that we've been bought with a price? This is not cheap grace. Christ has paid a terrible price for our sins, and we should give Him our best. One more thing. They were blameless. Look at verse 5. No lie was found in their mouths. They were blameless. Now, what that probably means, no lie was found in their mouth, is at a time when they could have followed the beast, they didn't do it. They continued to speak the truth of the gospel. They were blameless. Now, again, by way of application, let's think through that. 144,000 going through the most difficult time in all of history, and yet God protects them. And they sing a song no one else can sing because they have experienced firsthand His unique protection. The application for us is this. We can have assurance that God keeps His promises. If He did it through the most difficult times, tribulation period, He's going to do it for us today. He keeps His promises. If you're a Christian, God's going to keep His promises to you. And I can't promise physical health all your life, but I can promise this. If you trust in Christ, He's going to present you blameless to the Father. Not on your own merit, but because of what He has done. There's a second preview in this passage. And we could title this coming attraction, Invitation and Warning. Three angels give three messages. We'll go through these messages fairly quickly. The first message is an invitation to worship God. Remember, we're in chapter 14, but we're looking ahead at one of the last things that is going to happen on the face of the earth. Look at verse 6. Then I saw another angel flying in midair, and he had the eternal gospel to proclaim to those who live on the earth, to every nation, tribe, language, and people. He had the eternal gospel, the eternal purpose of God. And he's proclaiming it to every tribe, every language, every nation, every people. Everyone is hearing this. Verse 7, he said in a loud voice, fear God, reverence God, and give Him glory, give Him the honor that is due only Him, because the hour of judgment has come. It is now. Worship Him who made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and the springs of water. The angel is appealing this last call, this last invitation. He is appealing to nature around people. They can see it. He's the one who made the immensity of the heavens. He's the one who made the complexity of the earth. He's the one who made the vast seas. And He's the one who cared so much about you that there are springs of water flowing so you can drink it. He's appealing to the fact that God is the creator. And that's the most basic appeal that God makes to every person that lives on the face of the earth. Romans chapter 1 says this, "For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what He has made, so that men are without excuse." Men are without excuse because they can look up in the sky and see the heavens that someone has made, the complexity of it all. Someone had to do all this. And then the void in the heart to worship something or someone. That's the basic appeal. And here, this last call to salvation is on that basis of nature. One more time, just look up and worship Him. This is the last appeal in Scripture. I don't know that it won't be your last appeal. I don't know that it won't be the last time I'm able to give that appeal. We have no certainty in our lives. And so today I challenge you on the basic level that there is a Creator and there's a void in your heart. And God has sent Christ to fulfill that void, to pay the penalty of your sins. Trust in Him. Worship Him. Fear Him. Reverence Him. Honor Him alone. That's the eternal gospel. That's the good news of Christ. Today, trust in Him. A second message comes by the second angel. Look at verse 8. Second angel followed and said, "Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great, which made all the nations drink the maddening wine of her adulteries." Now, we're going to learn more about Babylon the Great in chapter 17 and 18. But it's interesting, if you trace Babylon throughout Scripture, you will see that there was a literal Babylon, and it either literally or spiritually, figuratively means a nation, literally at one time, and now spiritually a system that opposes God, a system that denies God. But one day we know this, the anti-God system will fall. Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great. One more angel. Third angel comes and gives the message of the eternal consequences of refusing God. Look at chapter 14, verse 9. Now again, please come. Here's the eternal gospel. Worship God. Last warning. Train's pulling out of the station. Get on. Gotta hurry. Third angel followed them and said in a loud voice, "If anyone worships the beast and his image and receives his mark on his forehead or on the hand, he too will drink of the wine of God's fury, which has been poured full strength into the cup of his wrath." Now, we love to talk about God's love, but we don't like to talk about God's wrath. But just as He is a God of love, He is a God of wrath. It's not like you could take a little piece of God and kind of have what you want. He is all loving, but He hates sin. And His judgment on sin is sure, and His wrath on sin comes with fury. And the ultimate judgment on sin is eternity apart from God in hell. And we see in this chapter that there are three descriptions, three certainties of hell. Number one, it is torment forever and ever and ever. That's the second one. It is eternal. And there is no rest. Remember Dante's Divine Comedy? He has a picture of a gate as you enter hell. And the title was, "Abandon All Hope, You Who Enter Here." And that's the picture Scripture gives of hell. Now, hell is not just a concept of bad things to come. Hell is real. Jesus spoke about it more than anyone else in the Bible. He came and He demonstrated love and He demonstrated compassion. He said, "I'm coming to die for you. I want you to trust me. I want you to follow me. But along with that, I have to give you a warning." And it's Jesus who speaks about hell more than anyone else in Scripture. So don't let anyone tell you, "Well, you know, God's just a God of love and Jesus just came and did some good teaching and end of the day, everyone's going to go to heaven." That's not what Jesus said. He said, there's a decision to make. It's heaven or hell. facing those going through difficult times. He says in chapter 14, verse 12, this is going to call for patient endurance on your part. Even when you're in the worst case scenario, keep enduring. You don't want to go the other route. You want to go with Christ. Even when it is tough, you go with Christ. Keep enduring. Look at 13. Then I heard a voice from heaven say, "Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. They will rest from their labors, and their deeds will follow them." What a contrast. No rest in hell, rest in heaven. Torment in hell, paradise, being with God, worshiping Him forever in heaven. One last thing. It's going to be a harvest that is demonstrated in the last verses, and I won't take time to read these verses. But it shows the picture of Christ, one like a son of man came, and he had a sickle in his hand. And it's kind of an interesting picture of Christ. But he has come as the one who loves us. He's come as the one who gave us the invitation. He's come in compassion. And now when we see him again, he comes as a judge. And the picture is of the sickle as he harvests the earth. And as he harvests the earth, as he says in his parables, he takes the wheat and he separates them from the chaff. Chaff is burned. The wheat is with him forever. There's also an angel who comes and does harvesting as well. And a terrible judgment is shown, that the blood will run as deep as 4.5 feet for about 184 miles. Now, again, if that's figurative, it shows terrible destruction. If it's literal, it's terrible destruction any way you go. The terrible judgment at the end. God wins. We celebrate that victory forever. But he writes these things so that you can know what's going to come. So let me go back to my first challenge. First thing is, do you know without any doubt you have eternal life? It only comes through Jesus Christ. Do you know that with certainty? You can admit that you are a sinner, that you can't save yourself. You can trust in Christ as the one who came, died for your sins, and you can know that if you died, you're going to go to heaven. You can know that. For those of you who know Christ, I want you to leave today with the confidence, based on these 144 that he said, "I'm going to keep," and guess what? I didn't lose one of them. We have the assurance of knowing that God's going to keep every one of us. We know our hearts, and we know the temptations, and we know when we fall and we sin, and we are far from perfect. But it's not up to us to keep ourselves. It's up to God to keep us and fulfill His promise to us. I'm not going to lose one of them.
And please stay with us. Ron returns in a few moments with a preview of our next broadcast. Are you looking for a place to shelter from life's inevitable storms? Is your heart desperate for a calm harbor to rest? Would you like to find safety and peace of mind where neither seem possible? Well, the place where those are discovered is described in Ron Moore's encouraging devotional titled Refuge. Within its 90 pages, God's promises of comfort, protection, and healing will revive your spirit. Refuge is yours for a gift of any amount at ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org. Or you may call 724-731-2018. That's 724-731-2018. Your gift today will help keep the journey on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now here's Ron with a look at our next time together.
God is going to demonstrate His wrath. The reason it's so difficult for us to imagine that is because God, for thousands of years, has been patient and gracious. So we've just thought about His patience with us, and we're thankful for that, His mercy on us, His grace on us. But one day, we see here that that's over. We need to realize that the wrath of God is just as much a real characteristic of God as is His love, and as is His grace, and as is His mercy.
We hope you can join us for that message next time. And please remember that Ron's devotional booklet, Refuge, is yours for a donation of any amount. Whether dark clouds are gathering on the horizon or they're directly overhead, Refuge offers shelter from the storm. You can get it online at ronmoore.org. or you may call 724-731-2018. That's 724-731-2018. Plus, we invite you to have a look at our church website at BibleChapel.org. There you'll find information about our worship services and special events, along with Ron's recent sermons, devotional thoughts, and podcasts. Again, that address is BibleChapel.org, BibleChapel.org. And if the journey has made a difference in your spiritual life, won't you invite your friends and family to listen as well? We'll thank you, and we think they will too. Finally, please keep in mind that the journey relies on your generous donations to remain on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Your gift today will be deeply appreciated. You can give at ronmoore.org, or you may call 724-731-2018. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join Ron next time as we walk together on the journey.